What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 22nd, 2017. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the peer one, Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host your hair.
Yeah? Woo. The problem with the hair, Kevin, I'll allow you to go to the one if you want. The problem with the hair is that it is in desperate need of a haircut. And it has been needing it for quite a few weeks. We passed that period where it was like cute long hair, mm-hmm. and now it's like unruly. So before the show, I run in the bathroom, wet it down, and then just... Paul made the shit out of it.
But it like it has that thing. Give a little turn so they can see what I'm talking about over here. No, I want this side. Yeah, look at that. It's the swoop. You're starting to get that. The sex swoop. That's what wins the people over.
Well, I don't think we have any problem with that, do we there? Kinda Funny Games Daily fans. Thank you so much for all your support this incredible first week, our fourth mm-hmm. show. Tim, now I was going to compliment you before you complimented me. Oh. You're doing the thing I love. A lot of new people listening to the show, watching the show. Maybe they haven't seen us on the Gamescast. You're wearing the blue shirt that really brings out the blue in your eyes.
That's what I do.
Kevin, give me Tim's one. Let everybody see that. Look at those eyes. God damn. Gia's a lucky woman.
Big fan.
At least when you wear this shirt.
Yep.
Otherwise, it's kind of...
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, you didn't know.
No, the show's been really good.
Yeah.
Really excited about it.
You guys have all been fantastic. Thank you so much for your support so far. Remember, keep rating us on iTunes, podcast services. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Yeah, just got a bunch of emails today. The show should be approved on Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
Good.
That means that in the next couple days, I think by Monday, by next week, it should be on all podcast services with the exception of Spotify.
We're working on that one too, though. But that's some kind of deal. That's some kind of like...
It's on them.
I think it's that they don't... Like, they're some kind of podcast union and we don't want to cross the line, I think, is what was explained to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what's happening?
Something like that.
Okay, cool.
It has
to do with
Libsyn.
Libsyn.
We don't have Libsyn.
I remember Libsyn from the old IGN days, Podcast Beyond and such. Worth pointing out, we're already in the housekeeping section, I guess, of this show. Today... I just made the thing and just put it up on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. We're recording our first ever live Gamescast.
Mm-hmm.
Worth pointing out, it's got Giant Bombs, Jeff Gerstmann, and Alex Navarro on it.
It's going to be good.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. If you're not familiar with the new structure, of course, of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, $1 gets you the early access link. You can watch us record the show live. But once it's over being filmed live, it's deleted. You can't see it again until it goes live ad-free the next day on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. And then YouTube for free on Monday.
On Monday as one video. New format for Gamescast.
Exactly.
Very excited about it. I got a new segment I'm going to drop today. A little preview for the people out there.
Yeah.
One of the segments I'm excited for is This Week in Gaming, where I'm going to go back and I have lists of a bunch of games that came out this week throughout the years.
So
I'm going to discuss them and talk about a little history lesson.
Okay, good. That sounds like
it's fun. It's
going to be fun. But fuck that show, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, each and every weekday here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, we record Kinda Funny Games Daily live. It's not a big deal if you don't want to watch along, because we ignore all the Twitch stuff, with the exception of kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where I need you guys to keep us on task at the end of the episode. We bump in, we look at all the things we got wrong, you tell us what it is. Kind of Funny Games Daily is your deep dive into gaming news each and every day. You can get it over at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We'd love it if you subscribe while you're there. You can also, of course, get it on podcast services around the globe. Please, I beg of you, as we are a brand new show, keep rating, keep reviewing, keep subscribing. Even if you're going to watch it somewhere else, you're watching on Twitch, you're going to watch it on YouTube, it'd be great if you could subscribe on iTunes or the podcast service of your choice. It helps us find new ears to infect with this. And I gestured to my face. That doesn't make any sense. We'll get into it. Let's start the show with is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. No, you stop right there. It was stronger yesterday, but it's not terrible. Andy Cortez is going to come in. Time for some news. Thank you, Andy. And you got a bad neck and everything. It means a lot.
Love it.
Let me see here on the Roper's Report. You're not adding anything, are you? Timmy Tim?
No.
Then I got three items on the Roper's Report.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much. We're going to start with Switch stock issues. Last time you were on the show, this came up a little bit.
It did.
Where you dropped knowledge on me, where we were talking about the fact that you can't get a Switch anywhere. That sucks. Maybe Nintendo's faking it. And you could pull out the fact that, no, the components are the problem. And
yeah.
Someone else in the chat threw out a new link and all this different stuff. Nintendo apologizing for that today. I'm going to read to you from GameSpot. Then valuewalk.com.
Oh, man.
And then drop some stats on that from the Wall Street Journal. Over at GameSpot, they said Nintendo has apologized for ongoing Switch shortages and promised to increase the volume of shipments to meet demand. In a post on the official Japanese Nintendo website, as translated by Google, the platform holder acknowledged that the Switch has continued to be in short supply since its launch in March. It went on to note that It has shipped new consoles out to retail every week, but is obviously still struggling to ensure the demand is met. Nintendo said it intends to increase the amount of Switch consoles available, at least in Japan, especially for the upcoming Splatoon 2 Switch bundle. Quote, for Autumn and beyond, we will continue to work to ensure that as many products as possible can be delivered to our consumers towards the end of the year, the statement continues. Now I want to drop in this added stuff from ValueWalk.com. Another bit of good news for potential buyers of the Nintendo Switch is that GameStop will get some units for the console this week. In a press release on Tuesday, the retailer said it just learned that some of its stores will get, quote, additional Nintendo Switch consoles for purchase. The $299 console will be available at a first-come, first-served basis where available. GameStop is also offering various Nintendo Switch bundles available online at GameStop.com, the retailer said, but provided no details as to when these shipments would be arriving, what they'd be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Worth pointing out, doubling back to what we said, Wall Street Journal reported last month that Apple is using the same parts to create the newest iPhone that Nintendo is using to create the Switch, hence all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
Then, for a deep dive on the industry side of it, of course, let's talk about NPD numbers and stuff like that. Switch outsold the Xbox One and PS4 for 2 months in a row, April and May, but in June, PlayStation 4 surpassed it. You assume because you can't get these motherfuckers.
Yeah, from what it sounds like, it's that makes a lot of sense because June. So we saw. Has June ended yet? That seems like a weird...
I'm just pulling my information here.
That's a weird thing.
Maybe this is another. Here's something funny from the other one where I was wrong about one of your wrongs last time around.
Yeah.
That I caught while I was doing the NPD numbers was they were listed as April, right?
Mm-hmm.
When in terms of they were actually May's, but it actually turned out that it was Seth Macy who screwed it up on the IGN article, who then tweeted me saying, "Hey, you read my article. Sorry, I fucked that up." So it might be a simple.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. I wonder if
the
this
latest
is
month
all
PlayStation
back?
4 out. So yeah, we're
so it would be March, April, and then so May, where it didn't.
Yeah, that would make sense. We're not
so that makes sense to me because May was the month that didn't have a big Nintendo game launch. And Nintendo's been good about stocking the system when there's a big launch. So we saw it with Zelda, then we saw it with Mario Kart. We're going to see it with Splatoon.
Are you surprised we didn't see it with ARMS?
I mean, well, maybe we are. Like, they're saying that there's more coming.
Sure, but ARMS is out now. I mean, remember, they made a big deal of, like, on Mario Kart Day, there will be more Switches in stores.
Yeah. I think ARMS is kind of a different situation because it's a new IP, whereas with Zelda, Mario, it's like there is that interest already, whereas with ARMS, I think that they're kind of focusing more on the people that have Switches, trying to get it to them, as opposed to, oh, people are going to buy a Switch for ARMS, where people are buying Switches for Zelda, Mario Kart, or Splatoon.
Gotcha.
So that totally makes sense to me because there was no big game in May. All we had was Street Fighter 2 and like little things here and there.
Here's my argument, though. Do you think if they were readily available, it would have outsold PlayStation 4 that month?
Yes.
I agree 100%. Okay, just making sure.
Definitely. I mean, and that's just the thing where we are long past the idea that Nintendo was holding back Switches to create headlines.
Well, now, I mean, now that they're actually putting up and apologizing, right? Like, they're actually making statements about it. And granted, they're not throwing it on the component thing. They're not doing that. But Nintendo of old was always just like, well, you know, so you should have bought it at launch. Sorry that it didn't happen.
Yeah.
We'll have more
Reggie.
Soon. And they let him out, Reggie.
Yeah.
Look.
He always does that.
I know.
But
I know.
No, you're right. Like this is a new Nintendo and hopefully a smarter Nintendo that is more consumer focused and going to say the right things to engender a good positive community.
So who do I get mad at in this situation? Am I mad at Nintendo for not having the foresight to buy more early on, build more out?
From my understanding, it's not the case. It's just when you go to a store and you want to buy something and there's only X amount of thing, you can't just will more into existence. I think that's kind of the problem that I don't think Nintendo was short-sighted. I just think that Nintendo wanted to make this machine what it is.
Yeah.
And they were limited on the parts for it. And like,
sure.
You can't, when there's so many tech devices in the world that rely on the same type of batteries, the same type of screens, like you see this all the time. And it's not a matter of should they have bought more. It's a matter of that's all that was available.
My counter argument to it would be, I don't even know if it was all that it was available at the time. I think that Nintendo played this, not close to the vest is not the right word. They played this as smart as they could. We're launching a new system. We don't know what the reaction is going to be. We understand we're coming from behind the eight ball with the Wii U. They set, you know, realistic numbers that they're on pace to crush her, obviously.
Yeah,
crush,
right? The 10 million for the year.
Yeah, exactly. So are they on pace to, well, not anymore because they can't get them out or whatever.
No, but still, they're still on pace.
What was, because in the first, I would need to look it up. You can tell me at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. They said something, right? They wanted 2 million in the first month on stores, 1 million.
I don't know.
It was
about
whatever,
that.
And they were really close to doing it in the first half of the year, maybe. I forget what the stat was, anyways. my thought process is, though, is that they didn't overestimate. They didn't go hog wild. They didn't make a million of these in a similar to PlayStation VR thing of we're launching this thing and we don't know how it's going to be received by the market, so we can't get out there.
Yeah.
The interesting thing, I think, is like how many of our friends on the internet are like, oh, man, I wish I could buy a Switch and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ah, you should have believed in them. You should have looked at it.
So you're doing the Reggie thing now.
Now yeah, I can do that. I'm not the guy making the choice for the company. Yeah. But it's that thing of like, we all pre-ordered it. We were like, all right, this thing's cool. And I think if they do this, that, and that, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's, I still do believe that, like, despite the shortage and despite everything I just said, Nintendo should have figured it out. Yeah. You know, like, it's not our job to figure it out. If people want to buy the Switch, they should be able to buy it.
Do you think one of the things that keeps getting kicked around on the internet a lot, at least in our, you know, things, because of course we need you to be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. People are kicking around like, how quick do you think we get to a Nintendo or Switch redesign? And I don't think this is escalating it, but it might be in a way of like, well, what if we just got it? What if, you know, in a year and a half from now, we get something out that doesn't use the same components and does this and does that?
I don't think that that would solve anything. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know all the hardware stuff. I'm not a scientist.
You're not over there working in Foxconn. Yeah, no,
I don't know about any of that stuff. But I don't think that it would help because, from my understanding, the battery is the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. I feel like the battery would be an issue no matter what the redesign because of how powerful this is for a handheld system.
Sure.
So I don't know that would necessarily be a solution. Going back to what I was saying a second ago about that I wish Nintendo would figure it out, even if there is shortages. At the same time, I'm happy that at least it seems like they're not making substitutions and like putting out a worse product, because they've done that before many times. The 3DS, the reliability of the screens between different 3DS, not even 3DS models, between the same model. Like if you get a bad draw, like if you get the wrong screen manufacturer, you're fucked. And every company does this, no matter who they are. You buy Samsung monitors, and it's like, you got to make sure you get the IPS, not the this, not the whatever. And it's like, that's all some fucking nerd shit.
Yeah, that you love.
But it makes a real difference. And yeah. I'm happy that at least it seems like they're not taking the easy way out and getting the cheaper products just to push Switches out there.
Sure.
But who knows? I'm sure there's a bunch of comparison videos already of Switch screens being like, look, the same Switch, but
I feel like they've been pretty consistent. I feel like, as much as you figure, the whole reason, people were complaining for a while about our content that we were talking too much about Nintendo. But the fact of the matter was that we were so into it. We were so into the Switch, still are into the Switch. And I think you see that reflected in the audience for the most part, right? And I think that when you go to an IGN and a GameSpot or a site like that, they would be all over those kind of articles. If somebody's putting up those YouTube videos, I think they'd have them up there. Because I don't think so.
Because again, this is kind of more Switch gets clicks. This is more nerd. This is more NeoGAF shit. Like, this is stuff where, like, those 3DS conversations constantly. Like, it was the Vita conversations. Anytime there's a thing with the screen.
But 3DS and Vita, with all due respect to those platforms, aren't as popular as the Switches.
True.
And I mean right now, I don't mean lifetime sales of 3DS. Yeah. I'm not stupid.
But I'm talking about, there's been an issue with the 3DS forever. There's been an issue with the DS
But nobody
forever.
Cares because they're baby toys. No, they were for babies. No. They had baby games, and now we got real games like Yoshi and Kirby coming to the Switch.
Okay. Good. Man solid games. Points.
You know what I mean? Solid. You look points. At them and you're like, ooh, I'm rock hard. Gregory Indick. Good transition. Wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, to be part of the show, and has an interesting question related, I think, to everything we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Switch will keep its momentum throughout the holiday season and the following year?
Easy.
Yeah.
I think that they already have such a great trajectory. They're not going to mess that up. We know the games that are coming. They've reiterated that Xenoblade 2 is coming this year, and that was the one that I was like a little bit iffy about. That some people out there, crazy people, I would say,
who's crazy,
had ideas that Mario Odyssey wasn't going to make this year. They were wrong. They were wrong.
Some of those crazy people weren't saying it wouldn't make it. They were saying, don't bet the farm on them hitting the date.
I bet that farm.
And, well, we'll see if it pays off. Don't Persona 5 this, where it's like, oh, well, Atlas is saying it. You're clearly wrong.
No, but the thing is, like, seeing never this game, forget. It's as far along as I thought.
Hell yeah, it looks great. It's really far along.
So that with Mario Odyssey there, it's just like, that is, I'm so interested to see how well that sells.
Right.
I am wondering if it will end up lifetime being the highest selling 3D Mario game. Because to me, that is the benchmark to hit.
Sure.
But having that out there, I do think it's possible that it will. There just needs to be more Switches in the wild or whatever.
Well, see, here's my thing is, to Gregory Indick's question, will it keep it momentum? it's not going to keep. It's going to rapidly increase.
Yeah.
Because even if nothing changed right now, you figure it's us and our dork friends on the internet I see talking about how, man, I'd love to have a Switch, but I can't find one. This sucks. It's back to people being like they are with the Wii, where, like, I think it was Nick Chester from Epic Games was tweeting about how, like, it was the middle of a work day and he found out that they had him and he left work and drove over there and bought a Switch. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're back to it being ridiculous. And so that's happening in the nerd culture, right? When we get to holiday and it is Good Morning America, The Today Show, whoever does Regis and Kathy Lee now, talking about the hottest fucking items this year for things, this is going to be the video game thing they talk about. And it's going to be, it's impossible to find in stores, but it's such a drawback to your childhood because there's Zelda and there's Mario, and no one's going to care that these games were spaced out 2 months on, you know, 2 months of nothing in between them or indies in there. They're going to be like, this thing has a great lineup and you can't find it and your kid wants it.
I mean, the other thing about Nintendo games is they don't decrease in price.
Yep.
Like, it takes forever, way longer than any of the other guys to get to their greatest hits line or whatever the hell they're called, Nintendo's Player Choice or whatever. And the Nintendo games are still going to be $60 when it comes time for the holidays. So like, Nintendo's going to fucking make bank on that shit.
And if they get there and they do have this figured out and they do have a better supply line, yeah, they're going to be rolling in it because it's going to be all this positive momentum going. And this is what I always wanted to do this as a GOG topic, but I never got around to it, was the fact that when we saw the initial trailer, and then when we came in the stock prices dropped, like where people are like, oh, even Nintendo doesn't believe in this thing, or their investors don't believe in this thing, I thought about buying Nintendo stock. And I thought that, I know we're not journalists, but I still come from that school of thought where it would have been, I felt like it would have been a conflict of interest for me to do it and then sit here and be like, I love ARMS. And you're like, well, does he really love ARMS? And does he really like Mario? I know.
We should do that as a GOG topic because
I think that's the thing is, like, now you're seeing all, you're seeing it. You're still seeing this thing spiral down the hill and pick up so much momentum as it goes. And I think it is going to smash into the holiday and through the holiday, especially to talk about what else is coming.
Yep.
And you see third parties get on board and bring in, hey, we actually are making a game. It's a smaller thing. It's, you know, it's fun and cool or whatever.
I mean, I'm still on the thing that the third parties don't matter when it comes to
I know, but I mean, like, when you see people running to it rather than away from it, it's a different thing.
That's true. And I mean, hey, it only means good things when there's a install base and they want to make games designed for it. Like, yes, the future, it could be great. But looking at it, it's, we talked about this a couple days ago about how is the Switch different than the Wii U?
Yeah.
And I said that the Wii U took forever to, at the end of the day, have a solid library of first party games that were awesome quality products, but it took way too long to get there.
Yeah.
And we never got a lot of the experiences that we were never promised, but
expected.
We're expected.
It's a Nintendo platform. Where is this game?
With the Switch, we're already getting all that, and that library is just month after month at being added to.
Yeah.
And it's also having the additional Wii U style games, like with Fire Emblem Warriors and even like the Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, like that type of stuff. It's like, cool. That reminds me of the Captain Toad style Wii U games.
We need a Captain Toad.
And
we're going to get it.
But to answer this dude's question about, well, through the holiday season, that's hella easy. Through the following year, I think definitely the fact that they're already talking about Kirby and Yoshi and that those sound sooner than later in 2018. And then yesterday there was the news that dropped that some, I don't know who it was, but someone said that someone at Nintendo said that Metroid Prime and Pokemon are coming next year. That's not happening. That must have been a mistranslation. But having that idea, it's like, all right, cool. They're going to be good. And I still think that Smash Bros. Is going to come out early 2018.
I think it's going to be like Mario Kart Deluxe stuff.
Yeah, okay, I think we're going to get like a deluxe port.
I think they'll string that along longer than... I would say middle of the year, more than anything. When did they announce Mario? Well, I guess that doesn't count because, of course, the Switch got announced late. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they would, then. Fascinating.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm expecting a January Direct from Nintendo, and I think it's going to be big.
Okay.
I think it's going to be their equivalent of PSX.
Ooh.
Where they have... there's E3, and then there's this other thing.
You're making me tingly.
I know.
I went, whoo, when I got all excited, and then I saw the thing moving in the background for a quick second. I thought I was about to faint, and then I remember that thing moves.
It does.
I know, but I'm just in the moment. Anyways, next story is all about Valve's Knuckles controller. No, Knuckles. Not Sonic and Knuckles. I knew you'd jump there. Did you see this? Did you see any of this stuff today?
Yes, I did. Interesting.
It's drivers that went up for this new controller that I didn't know about for VR, but I'm going to let Durante from NeoGAF break it down for you. Today, a lot of new information about Steam VR Knuckles controller came to light. For those not following the matter, we're both those people, these are new VR controllers being designed by Valve, which are now being provided to external developers in prototype form. The main features over the existing controllers are designed to clasp on your hand, which means you can naturally grab and release objects without dropping your controller. More ergonomic. Thank you. Shape. Yeah, and it's one of those words you see and you know how to say and you just can't get it out because you got a fat mouth.
That's most words for me.
With easier to reach face buttons, and as of now, clear full analog 4-digit curl tracking using captactive sensors. I practiced that at the desk and I immediately screwed it up. Basically, capacitive. You can move all your fingers.
Yeah.
You can move all your fingers now in a VR world and move them around like that.
Have you seen the video?
I have.
Yeah.
Insane. So
it's interesting where it's kind of like a Wiimote safety strap situation, but on your hand. So it clasps on and so it holds on. And instead of using your thumbs as the main input points, it's more about using your fingers and where they are.
Yeah.
So each finger kind of functions as a separate button.
Yeah.
And depending on if you have it on or off, it does different things. And that's interesting because this is what I think VR needs to really set itself apart from video games and to be its own experience, where it's not just, all right, cool, I have a controller in VR. And I feel like a lot of times with the PlayStation Move or whatever, it's like, it's always an almost. And even with the Vive controllers, it just feels weird. This is the type of thing where it's like, all right, you are going to have to completely wrap your head around a new way to play.
Yeah.
But that is, if it ends up being a standard, I think that would be really important and good for VR games going forward because there's that foundation to build off for what a real game could be in VR.
100%. I think there's two examples in my recent memory of why this matters. And this is not using these controllers. Stick with me. As somebody who is, I love PlayStation VR. I think it's cool. I don't play it all the time, but I enjoy it. And that's my entry into VR because it's cheap and it's right there and it's easy, right? To go do the Star Trek bridge crew thing we did, which is now a party mode that went up yesterday, but this isn't an ad for that, but you should go watch it. It didn't get enough views, which is crazy. Andy put a lot of work into it. Kindoffunny.com/kindoffunnygames. YouTube.com/kindoffunnygames. We start that thing, right? And as soon as we get in, the first thing we do is, oh, we can point with our fingers. We're all going, and it's like, totally stupid and goofy, but like there is that moment of like, oh wow, this is super cool. But then it does get to that weird point of this is all I can do.
Yep.
Of like, all right, cool, but this is at that first moment, this is so different, and punching the screen with your fingers is so different, doing the love and sex stuff move is so different and cool. And it is that thing of like baby steps to getting there. Mm-hmm. It's almost there, but it's not there. And it was the same thing of when I went to Judges Week for E3, and I talked about this in another article or video up on Kind of Funny, is the fact that I went there and played a whole bunch of different VR games. And the one I did was Echo Arena, which is the multiplayer mode for Lone Echo, right? And Echo Arena it's from Ready at Dawn. It's their VR competitive mode, but it's like you're in zero G playing Ultimate Frisbee, but you can punch each other and you can do that. So the punching's fun. You got little gauntlets. You fly like Iron Man. You're trying to throw this thing into the goal, right? But in the presentation beforehand, Ready at Dawn was talking about the fact that one of the big pieces one of the big things they're proud of in the game was the way that you push off of walls and interact with stuff. And I was like, this is a giant, sporty, kind of like Rocket League and, you know, VR, new kind of game. It's weird to get caught up in hands. And then playing it, the first time I was like flying at the wall and I was kind of motion sick and I was like, oh God, here it comes. And I put out my hand in VR and stopped myself. And then when I pressed off and I watched my hand do what it would really do in real life, you know what I mean? Or like when I was crawling up a guy or when I was pushing past things in the same way like Uncharted was, it was exciting the first time Drake reached out and touched the walls when Naughty Dog made a big deal about that. It was immersive all of a sudden to see your hands doing what your hands should naturally do. Mm. And so to get to this point, where you're going to be able to strap these things on and it is going to be full digit control and it'll be the A and it'll be the Cool Greg hand motion that I can never do. I think it's this Cool Greg. And then it's going to be people flicking each other off. And it's like, it'll be that, oh, this is so goofy, this is so stupid. But then we're going to get into a game that, all right, cool, type. All right, do this. And it's going to, when you start having those experiences, when you're like, holy shit, this is different and on a different level.
Yeah, I've talked about this a lot when we've discussed VR, but I think that the first thing people do is try to figure out the rules. No matter what the game is, you put the headset on, you have the controls, you're like, all right, what can't I do? And then once you figure that out, that's when you're like, all right, cool, I can wrap my head around what I'm doing. And I think Bridge Crew is a perfect example of, we figured out we do the fingers, we had to point and, you know, hit the buttons like that. Yeah. It was like, all right, cool, that's what we can do. And I think that with this controller, it would be a much steeper learning curve for all of that, but there's so much more potential. And I think that is the way that you get that next level immersion where it's like, oh shit, I no longer feel like I'm beating the game, by being like, oh, hey, cool, here's your limits.
Right.
It's more like, oh shit, I can't even figure out all of the limits, because what is the difference between holding like this versus like that, you know?
And that's the thing, when you get into a game like that and suddenly, because what you're saying, you're talking about VR, but it's what we do with every other game, right? Whether it be an Uncharted third person action, you run to the wall and can I climb that, like Zelda, yep, or whatever, and or whether it is just like, you know, Mario, Super Mario Brothers being such a great example of, you come, the first enemy hits you, oh, that things kill me, oh, I can jump over things, yep, oh, you know what I mean, like you learn those tutorials.
And I think the coolest thing about this controller is the idea of it clasping on your hand, and that being open handed is a function.
Yeah,
because it is a little unnatural to, in at all times of VR, having to be holding what, like, right, feels like a gun, you, sure, know, but if it's open, and that could be a whole thing, so you can put your palm out and do stuff like that, like that's really cool.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see what happens with it. Jackson Giles wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, earlier, and he means yesterday, you said that Rocket League could bring esports to the mainstream. What would bring VR to the mainstream?
Experiences, nature. Like I really think that it's the destination travel stuff. Like when they can really make you feel like you're on a vacation resort anywhere in the world, and if they were to market that in a way that's easy to understand for old people,
sure,
like people that don't know video games at all, I think that is what really gets VR.
For me,
there,
with Jackson's question, it comes down to what is he defining as mainstream? Because yesterday, what Andrea and I were talking about with Rocket League, right, was bringing esports to the mainstream gamer, which I was using as myself, of just like, oh great, I love that people love Dota and it's cool they have these giant things in stadiums, I don't want to watch it, I don't ever care, you know what I mean? What could make it cross over to the point where, because it's that thing often where I'll meet somebody and like, oh, you're in the video game industry. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh man, tell me about esports. I'm like, well, yeah, no, not. It's weird, but we are different sides of the same industry, yeah, where it's just, I don't know anything about that. And how do you do that where suddenly the people who, like, we sit there and I would say, if you were asking me who are our gaming celebrities, right, I would list a bunch of YouTubers, I would list Neil Druckmann and Ken Levine and all these developers and stuff, and I would have zero, hey, this pro player and this team and
Hungrybox,
Team Syndicate, I think is the one I hear about. Yeah, okay, yeah, but, a big thing. But I mean, like, at what point does that wall, that Berlin Wall, fall down between us and there is just one gaming thing, or does it ever happen?
I don't think that ever happens. I think it's just gaming is just evolving and growing in different ways, and I don't think there necessarily needs to be overlap between any of them.
See, because my the more I thought about the question in the esports realm yesterday was the thing of like, well, I guess if I'm an NHL fan, I'm not necessarily a NASCAR fan.
Yeah.
However, when I go to ESPN and I get PTI or I get SportsCenter, that's all there. And I feel like it's all justifiably there, and I listen enough when it happens.
But that's like IGN though, right? Like it is all
But no,
there.
It's not. Like, not really. Like IGN will occasionally throw up an article, and things have drastically changed, saying like, Team Syndicate just fuck this chicken, yeah, and here we go. I don't know.
Well, that doesn't sound like an IGN thing. But like,
well, no, they want to say that. Yeah. I'm just saying they want a thing. I was throwing in a kind of funnyism of it did really well.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. I think that it needs to be its own thing, and I feel like just gaming is broadening.
Yeah,
and it's doesn't necessarily need to have crossover. And like, to answer the question you guys were talking about yesterday, is like, I don't think that Rocket League could bring esports to the mainstream at all.
Mainstream gamer?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah,
I think it's the best chance so far. I think it's the best chance so far because my thing is like, the people, that's painting with a broad brush. I think Rocket League is in more places, so lots of people already have an experience and their heads wrap around Rocket League. Mm. And I think, like I talked about yesterday, so I won't be the head of the horse, but like we enjoyed Rocket League before it went public. And then when it went public, I couldn't play online because I just wasn't good enough. But I'm excited for Switch to play in our group, right? And I'm sure there's people like that out there who go home with their friends and play Rocket League and really enjoy it. And I think that there's something to be said when you watch like gaming clips on Reddit, or when you see something just passed around of like, look at this awesome goal on Twitter, right? I think that if Rocket League, when it is on NBC or FX, whatever it's going to be, and there's something cool happening, and these are the best I think people might, well, let's go see, well, you know, pop over and see what's happening. I don't think it's going to be destination viewing,
yeah,
but I think there's more people who have a cursory positive feeling about that than there are about Dota or League.
Yeah, see, I think that Evo is probably the best example of bringing esports to the mainstream. I think over the last couple of years, we have never hung out with a group of people in the summer convention season without them being like, are you going to Evo?
Yeah.
Like, Evo is the party that people expect you to be at. And I think that there's so many people that are not interested in esports that do not follow the competitive scene at all that will watch Evo start to finish just to see how it goes. Interesting. And I found myself more and more watching Smash Bros. Competitive scene, whether it's the Wii U or Melee.
Yeah.
But even in addition to that, like, obviously I like Smash Bros., but I'll stick around and I'll watch the Street Fighter Finals, even though I'm not really interested in it, just because I'm already there and
sure.
Evil's already presenting it in such an interesting way. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like you don't know. Good call. Next question from kindoffunny.com/KFGD comes from Brenton, who says, hey, Greg, an insert co-host here. I need to get better about promoting who's going to be on. Tomorrow it's Andrea, and then next week, same schedule. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Andrea. Timmy on Tuesday and Thursday. Tuesdays and Thursdays with Timmy. Anyways, Brenton goes on. I wanted to relay a quick story. I was playing Danganronpa the other night on my Vita. I'm navigating the school and being the ultimate whatever. Well, my young son hops up on my lap. He looks down at the screen, and much to my dismay, he sees a grisly scene of a teenager being murdered. He looked up at me, and with a tear in his eye, says, Dad, if I wanted to know what's coming to the digital retail and mom-and-grop shops, where would I go? And then I forgot that I added another news story before that. You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every day.
I was reading through this before we did the show, and I was like, I don't fucking understand what's happening here.
Yeah,
how does this have to do with the next news story?
Well, the original idea was we had two news stories.
Yeah.
Then PC Gamer came out and said Skull and Bones is going to have a single player, and that's all you really need to say about that.
Cool.
Do we care about Skull and Bones yet?
I don't.
I don't either. Maybe I will later on. My thing with Skull and Bones is it sounds... They came out with this PvP mode where you're the ship or whatever. Just give me Assassin's Creed again. Then I remembered I didn't beat Black Flag, and I'm like, I should probably just go play more Black Flag if I want to do that.
All right.
I should stop being a little bitch and complaining about things.
That's true. I've been saying that for years.
Out today. Now, here's an interesting one. Yesterday, I talked about Oceanhorn, Monster of the Uncharted Seas, coming to Switch yesterday. But then today, I saw it listed again. So either way, Oceanhorn's on the Switch. Maybe it was not there yesterday. Maybe it's there today. Today's Thursday. That's usually when Switch games go up. So I thought it was awkward that it was happening, but whatever. Then Fatal Fury 2 from the Neo Geo is on Switch as well.
Neo Geo.
The PlayStation Plus free starter pack is now available for Crossout. It's a vehicle-based MMO that launched on the PlayStation 4 at the end of May. And the next big update for Overwatch is now available, introducing the Horizon Lunar Colony map for all players. Are you going to go back for this?
No, I haven't played Overwatch in way too long.
Yeah.
I'm so behind on games, man. It sucks.
It does suck.
There's an upcoming thing that'll bring that up for.
Oh, okay. Question. I won't get ahead of it. Sorry. New dates for you. Indie RPG, The Tenth Line, launches June 27th on the PlayStation 4. Saw that on the blog. Didn't see it reflected on Xbox, so I assume it's not there. One person made the entire game.
Indie RPG?
Okay. The indie RPG, The Tenth Line. You understand? So it's an independent RPG called The Tenth Line.
Oh, got it.
The fact that you got confused, I was trying to explain it.
Yes.
Over-explain. One person made it. And it looks like it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying the key art looked really great. And you play the trailer, like, oh, okay, well, this looks what I'd expect. Could totally be interesting. Could totally be awesome. Just putting it out there. I mean, if Ryan Clements is reporting on it, why not? Deals of the day isn't a standard segment, right? We have to float it in, float it out if we want to.
Seems like whenever I'm on the show, it's there.
Well, you're my deal of the day. The first thing I want to start with is actually, I put it at the back, is that Steam Summer Sale just started. GameSpot reminded me of it. There's a ton of games on
sale. All the Final Fantasy games are
super
cheap.
Exactly. You can get Rocket League for $12, Super Hot for $15, Abzu, which I didn't think was that great, but a lot of you did, $6. Telltale's Guardian of the Galaxy is now $16.74. I'd recommend skipping that, though. Civilization's up there. I mean, everything that you'd expect from Steam is up on sale. It's the summer sale. Get over and try it out, you PC dorks, when you're done with your Excel documents. I'm just kidding. I love you. Calm down, everybody. But here's one interesting that I picked up from Ars Technica. I think this will apply to you and me. Have you seen it already?
Oh, yeah. I've been following along with this heavy.
Nyko has beaten Nintendo at its own game and made a portable docking kit for the Nintendo Switch. It's $44.99. It could come down to $40, according to Ars Technica. And this is against the $90 dock that Nintendo sells. Let me run you through the stats about it, all right? Enable TV mode on the go with Nyko's portable docking kit for PlayStation or for Nintendo Switch. Portable docking kit allows you to connect your Nintendo Switch to any HDMI TV without needing to bring your dock with you. Its compact design allows it to fit in most travel bags, and the built-in portable stand keeps the Nintendo Switch upright when outputting the TV. Portable docking kit powered by the included Type-C AC adapter and will keep Nintendo Switch charge while playing. What you'd expect, basically. Connect the Switch to any TV, great. Type-C AC adapter, great, included. Compact design, great. Enable TV mode, HDI included. What it's also, ours updated their article, it will have USBs to plug into it. The version they saw didn't. long and short of this, it's about yay big. It's like it's smaller than a deck of cards.
Yeah.
Versus the giant fucking dock Nintendo makes you carry around.
It also doesn't scratch the...
It doesn't... Yeah, there's nothing. You just plug it into the top like so many the old PSP Vita chargers.
Yeah. Very exciting. Very interesting. There's a couple things about this that are misleading, though. The Nintendo Switch official dock. You can get it on the Nintendo site for around,
$80
I think it's 50, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's a lot less. But it does not come with the AC adapter and stuff. And those things do get pricey.
Right.
So I think Nintendo sells that separately for $30. Although sure. You could get other USB-C AC adapters for a lot cheaper on eBay or Amazon.
But the problem is, like, they make it so weird where it's like, I have the USB-C cable, great, and I plug it into the little iPhone, you know, a little brick or whatever, and then I plug that in, and it's like, I can't charge off this. I need the actual adapter. Like, yeah, come on, well, Switch.
I mean, that's not Switch's fault.
Yeah, it is.
That's your fault for not having a strong enough brick. The iPhone brick, the little tiny one, is different than the bigger one. Like,
well, you know, that the bigger one comes with Macs, and I've just been buying iPhones for 20 years, so come on.
Yeah, so if you were to plug it into, like, the iPad brick, yeah, then it'd be fine. It would charge it.
Well, they should sort it out and make it for everything. But you know what? They should make them all
power works.
They should make it solar powered. I don't understand why this is so tough.
That makes some sense. Not a lot of it, but it makes some sense. This is exciting.
I have two docks. I have one in the bedroom, one in the living room. And this one makes me want to buy this one, too, just to have in a travel bag and never have to worry about it again.
I like it. There's something... There's an issue I have with the Switch's output abilities that I wish they would solve.
Okay.
I want to be able to plug the Switch into a TV and to be able to like use that as a controller and have it on the TV. And I know that this might seem like a real niche problem, but for us, I want to do stuff where we can gameplay capture while playing on the Switch. And we can't do that. So, for example, if we wanted to do a Let's Play of all of us playing Mario Kart, where I wanted each of us to have our own screen, instead of being able to capture straight from the Switch, we would have to have six separate TVs. So we each have our own TV with our own capture kit and our own docks and all that. Yeah. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense to me that there isn't just a like USB-C to HDMI cord.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the dock being is a necessity, and I don't like that.
Yeah.
This seems like it's at least a step closer.
Sure.
But
I feel like, if anything, that would be when we're talking about like Switch 2.0. When you're redesigned, what would you do? We've heard you. This is what you can do. It can USB to HDMI or something weird.
Yeah. Like I mean, I'm hoping that they skip that and that a Nyko or someone figure it out. The problem is the dock does unlock the better resolution and all that. So they'd have to do some weird Nintendo trickery.
Sure.
It can't just be a normal USB-C to HDMI cable.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. I thought everything over there. Miyamoto trying to get in your pocket, get your dollars.
Getting in that pocket.
God damn it. Let's check in with the listeners. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, this show depends on you. You can write in each and every morning to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with all your questions about the news of the day. I usually tweet about what is in there, but you see what the biggest stories of the day are. You're going to be part of them. And then if you just want to do some other stuff, whatever. It's similar to what Javier Bonier-Royers wrote in and said, 2017 has been a great year for horror games with such hits as Resident Evil 7, Outlast 2, Friday the 13th, and Little Nightmares. I'm sure you guys have heard of these all, but have you played Little Nightmares? And if so, what are your thoughts?
So this is what I was talking about earlier. I said we'll get back to it.
Yeah.
Little Nightmares.
You've been playing Little Nightmares?
Huh?
You've been playing Little Nightmares?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
Little Nightmares and Nier Automata.
Sure.
The two games that I'm so pissed that I've missed out on so far. It's been going on. There's been a lot of busy stuff happening.
Sure.
Those are the two games that I'm like, I need to go back and play.
Okay,
Little Nightmares looks awesome.
Little Nightmares downloaded, installed on my PlayStation 4, came home from E3. No, it was the day before we left for E3, and I wanted to play something I could beat in one sitting. And I looked up how long to beat. This was there. Jumped in and played it for a bit, and it was one of those of, it's first person, you're wandering around, exploring all these different things.
It's first person?
Yeah, isn't it?
For Little Nightmares?
Am I thinking the right one or the wrong one? Oh, maybe I'm thinking the wrong one.
I think you might be.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to figure out. No.
I only saw, I was just reading articles about it, and I saw
this
trailers.
Is this not the one of you in the insane asylum?
No.
Oh, then hold on. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Little Nightmares is the one that looks more Limbo-esque.
Big Kev Dog's bringing that up. No, I'm totally thinking the wrong one. Well, what the fuck is
this
one?
This looks awesome, though.
Okay.
Little Nightmares. You
tell
gotta
me all about
this.
It. I haven't heard anything about it, then.
I mean, it's just one of those games
Little
that...
Little Nightmares is a puzzle platformer horror. It's gone now.
All of the like the Kotakus and the Polygons,
sure,
and those type of sites that the places that I found out about games like Gone Home or whatever,
yeah.
Like they were talking about this. Yeah, it's more of a
okay. So it's a this looks awesome. This is totally different from what I was talking about. I apologize, everybody. Don't bother going.
This is just creepy as all fuck.
Yeah,
Like, I was seeing here's just gameplay, but from the trailer I saw, I was like, wow, this looks really different and cool.
Okay. Yeah, no, this is immediately jumping into what I would want out of it. Kevin, can you show people on the screen or something behind us since you're going through it? We can describe what we're seeing. Puzzle, you're a little girl in a yellow, or a little child in a yellow raincoat hiding right now in a kitchen doing all these different things. Interesting.
And there's a lot of really, really creepy, scary shadow effects and just like graphical things and like a lot of weird character designs. I saw a lot of stuff that's like with like spider, like the reason I said Limbo earlier,
yeah,
is there's like a big spider.
Oh jeez, yeah, okay, no, this is very different, but it's just in the same creepy vein. No crap, this is gonna, well, if you know what I'm talking about, it just came out recently. It's first person, you're exploring, it's based on true events. You're in a sanitarium or whatever, and you wake up with no memory, but you're on the grounds of a sanitarium. Look into it. Let me know in kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, because I can't remember the name of that game. But that's one of the ones.
The Little
missed.
Nightmares is another one. I mean, a lot of what you described awesome. Up until the first person,
yeah,
nailed it. Where it sounds like it is a one sitting play through the game.
Okay,
puzzle platformer, but not really platformer. But you know, they use platformer.
I know what you mean. It's not Mario platform.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
all right, cool. That looks great. Cool, Greg. Do me a solid. Go to the back room where all the giveaways are, and I put like a bunch of games on top recently, so they should be up there. Bring them all back and let me see, because one of them is the game I'm thinking of also came into disc. Let's see where I want to go next. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Greg.
No, I want to do this. No, no, no. I don't want to do that right now. No, no. Here we go. Ethan Voce. Thoughts on E3 demos one day being made available through the console networks. Vertical slices are already being produced for the show floor. Why not make those available to the millions, following E3 coverage at home? Will we ever see this kind of thing in our lifetime, you think?
No.
No, you say no.
I think that we will see it every once in a while, but it'll be on a small scale. I don't think it makes sense to do that, because they don't even do that for guys like IGN or GameSpot. I mean, sometimes they do. But it's not like they're sending versions of the game early to the outlets to cover that stuff. I don't think they're going to do big demos like that. I also think that the E3 demos, for the most part, are too much of the game to put out for free like that.
Gotcha. In a perfect world, Ethan, I would love to see that, and I understand why that would make sense. The reason you won't see it is that even for us, when we go behind closed doors to see something or get a demo, the first thing they say, right, is this is work in progress. Just a reminder, the code is still coming along. We're pre-alpha, so anything you see that's going to crash, it's not representative of the game. We're working on it. You know what I mean? Whereas if you were to release that and not have somebody there telling you, and it just went out to everyone and people started playing like, I fell through the world and this happened and that crashed and there's this bug here and there's temp graphics here, like, people would lose their mind and tear games apart. Not everyone, but enough people that it just doesn't make it worth it.
Yep.
The reason you figure, well, right now, but the reason sites like IGN, people like us at Kinda Funny, all these different people go see games is that we're the gatekeeper, you know what I mean? Like, to get to this level where you're going to go see a publisher's games at a demo event, there's this belief that you understand how this works and you understand how pre-release code works and you understand that you're not, when we ask you not to take video, you're not going to be like, yeah, no problem. Aim your phone down and take it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a trust there in this relationship in the way of, like, the information gets to you and you filter. And that was always a big problem. I remember that we changed at IGN when Hillary was in charge, but forever it was like you'd see a game and you didn't want to be too critical of it. You didn't want to come back and write a preview that was like, hey, this game's going to suck, because it was, my early days at IGN, so many of my previews end with, it's rough around the edges, but we'll see if it comes together for release date. And I knew that game's not going to come together, because I'm not talking about falling through the world. I'm talking about mechanics just not being enjoyable. But the idea was that you didn't want to say that because it was pre-release. And it took a while for, as I think games journalism or whatever you want to call it, grew up to get to the point of being like, the mechanics suck, it runs fine, that's not the problem. Or we are seeing run bugs and frame rate issues. Hopefully that gets fixed, but who knows?
Yeah.
Screen tearing, stuff like that. And I think that if it was just to go out there to everybody, it wouldn't have that kind of context.
With what Ethan's talking about, I think has the best chance of happening with games like Battlefield or Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And I think that we already do kind of see that with betas, and I think that that is the solution to it. I don't think that at E3, there's so much going on with E3 that I doubt big scale games are ever going to be like, and there's a demo available right now.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I totally called the wrong ball a while back in the way that the demo being available right now, which did happen a few times, but then it was more, and the game we're talking about is available right now in the PSN or Xbox Live. I thought that was going to be a way bigger thing. And to some extent, I still think it should. I think that if, think about it like with a game like Moss, which looks awesome and had a lot of positive buzz at E3 and stood out of the pack from the get-go. If they could have said, not even available now, but I mean like if it would have been possible that you let it go 2 or 3 days where all the tweets were going, the Waypoint articles, our Let's Play, all this stuff went up and then we're like, it is available now. Go and get it. Like people at E3 are, and shows in general, are so hungry to get that next big thing, to get that next awesome piece of content they see. If you could figure out a way as a smaller title to be like, here we are, we're impressing you. Like, even Devolver, with their goofy fake conference, it would have been cool to be like, hey, here's this and it's out right now. You can go get it everywhere.
Yeah, for sure. And I think we do see more of that, and it's usually at the more PSX style things or the other shows, because E3 is just too big of a beast. Like E3, it's, you get buried. Even if you were to say it's out now, it's like, then great, that are people going to play it or watch the press conferences? And I feel like the audience that you're talking to saying it's available right now are watching the press conferences.
Sure, but I feel like there's more incentive for them to do it, and it's not, I totally understand you, because what you're trading off right there is like, if Moss had done that, right, what I'm talking about, then, and if they would have done it at the press conference, the next 3 days nobody's gonna go see Moss.
Yeah,
that's out right now. I can do it when I get home. I don't have to worry about it now.
Yeah, no, that's true too.
But it is this thing of, we are talking about the changing, shifting landscape of what enthusiast press is. Does that matter as much as if they did it and all the YouTubers at home wanted to play it and do it? Now, granted, this is a PlayStation VR game. Some people are doing that. We try to do PlayStation VR Let's Plays, but they're more rare. Mm. It's a whole ball of wax, and I feel as the industry shifts, people need to get on it a bit more. But it doesn't work necessarily.
I mean, demos are an interesting conversation in itself
yeah.
of how important are they nowadays.
Right. Because every game used to have a demo.
Yeah.
You know.
And now most games don't. And even when you go to show floors and stuff, the vertical slices, most of them you don't get to play. You just get to watch other people play.
Yeah.
You know? Otherwise, it is way closer to release and the game is way more finished. And it's just, here's a multiplayer experience to go do.
No good. And betas that aren't betas. Andrew wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, some of the discussion on yesterday's show revolved around Microsoft emulating Sony's gamer-first approach, but managing to bridge the gap successfully. Is this Microsoft playing the long game? Being more inclusive now could benefit them further down the line when they do launch their console in the next gen. Or is that simply undercut by Xbox exclusive games always being available on PC? Additionally, you'd think Sony wouldn't be stupid enough to suddenly ignore this aspect of their success this generation, regardless of clunky interviews. As I was talking about it yesterday, oh, by the way, the game I was talking about was The Town of Light. This is the one that I was confusing with. Apparently published by THQ Nordic. I didn't know that part. What? Are you scared?
What the fuck was that?
I think it's a scary person coming through a metal door, sounds like. Town of Light has you running through an insane asylum, and it's a scary, creepy game. It looked interesting. Started it first person. I'll one day get back to it and let you know. I mean, I feel like, as I said yesterday, Microsoft has no option but to play the long game. They have to, right now, go back to the Xbox core, make them happy. Similar to what PlayStation was doing in the PS3 lifecycle towards the end of, you are a hardcore PlayStation fan, here is Twisted Metal, here is an exclusive, we're giving you a reason to have this thing. And then, hopefully, when you go to PlayStation 4, hopefully when you go to Xbox 2, you have a jump there to make where it's like, hey, because I was making the argument yesterday, is it possible they're holding back exclusives now for the next console to try to get that jump start on it? That whatever the Halo was going to be gets bumped to be a Halo a launch game for Xbox 2?
It was 2 days ago because I was
just talking about the same thing all the time.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But
do you think that this is them playing the long game?
Oh, I mean, I honestly think that Microsoft is playing the game. Mm-hmm. I think they're playing the short-term game and the long game at the same time. Like I think that Phil Spencer is a very smart dude.
100%.
And I think that they're making a lot of right moves. There's a lot of things that I wish they did differently, but I don't run their business. And I think that, again, what I was saying a couple of days ago is it's not like they're losing when it comes to just themselves. Like they're doing very well. They're only losing when compared to Sony. And everyone is also so easy and quick to hate on Sony for statements they make and whatever. There's no winning everyone's opinion. So I don't know. I think they're doing the right thing. And I think that they are playing the long game in the sense that they're obviously thinking about the next system. But I do think they're very focused on the Xbox One, and especially now with Xbox One X. Like they're committing to it. And I think the fact that they're releasing a updated version of this system shows that they are committed to this being an experience. And I don't think that the games being available on PC affects
that's always it
in any ways on PS4 or on Xbox One.
Yeah, the PC argument, I've just always, like, everybody I know who has a PC, like, Yeah, they love their PC and they play their stuff on PC. At always some point, it's really loud. Like, they're driving into the office. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, not being a PC guy, I guess I wouldn't know what it is. Like, what draws you to play anything, I guess, is the argument. And so, I guess not giving them the option would be the best bet for Xbox, but... Again, with all due respect to Xbox, the exclusives are so far, few and far between to begin with. Does it matter that Gears is on PC as well or something? No, like you're gonna go play. That
I don't
over
think so
Xbox.
At all. And I honestly think that in the long term, the game being on PC only helps the Xbox because it's just awareness of the brand and it gets more money for the game, which allows the next game to have a bigger budget and to have a better team. It's like it's a big grand thing that they're doing here, and yeah. I think that it's just like the idea that like oh well. They shot themselves in the foot sales wise. It's like, well, it's their game. Who cares if it sells here or there?
Yeah. Tim, mm-hmm. Final question is one just for you, pretty much.
Yes.
Well, not really, but it's your subject matter. Chase Morocco from Canada says, how well do you guys think Crash is going to do? I've been saving my platinum trophy virginity for that game, so needless to say, I'm excited. But do you think this will spawn a new Crash, a CTR remake, or maybe a revival of another franchise? Thanks, guys. Love all that you do. How well is Crash going to sell? Comes out on the 30th.
It does.
Your birthday. Happy birthday.
Yeah. PlayStation 4 exclusive for now. I think that we're going to hear about it maybe going to other systems towards the end of the year. I think it's going to do well.
Yeah.
I don't have a good grasp of numbers enough to be able to pinpoint like exactly sure. how well. I think it's going to be a good decision that they made the game. And I think that it's going to pay off for them. We'll see how well it does based on if what we get out of it. Will we get Crash Team Racing? I sincerely doubt it. I think that's too far removed from what this is. Will we get a new Crash game after this? It's possible if it does well. Yeah. But I also think that it's most likely we'd get a Spyro collection in the same vein as this.
Interesting.
Because I think that they understand that they're tapping into that nostalgia. And I think that people love the original games. They don't necessarily love a new game. I don't think that a new Crash would do well.
Interesting. I think it's going to do better than people expect. If it had more time on the market, I think it would chart in the NPD top 10 and not like number one or anything. But I think it's going to... Day one sales aren't going to be enough to make a chart for June. And then July sales, since they lost that day one push of everybody running out to buy it, isn't going to chart well for July, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
It's in that.
Is NPD first to last day of the month?
I'm fairly certain
that
it is.
That sounds right.
Kindoffunny.com/... /, you're wrong. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure because it's always for the month. It's never for the period ending. Mm. But I think it's going to do well enough to move some stuff. But then it's going to get interesting in terms of what. Like there was a deal here between Sony and Activision, right? Like, what does Activision care about? What is the success to Sony in terms of, hey, this character is different than what it is to Activision in terms of we have Blizzard, we have Destiny, we have all these different giant franchises, right? Sony has giant franchises, but this is more in the Sony realm of, oh, our audience wants this, here you go. Oh, there's a Sly Cooper collection, and we're making a new Sly Cooper.
Man, it's so interesting because I don't think we'll ever know the actual details of this deal. Because it's weird. Did Sony fund it somehow or not? And I think that question will be answered by whether or not the Insane Trilogy comes out on Xbox eventually or even the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
Because they've been super weird about not ever actually saying this is an exclusive. And anytime they do, it's very cagey and weird. And there's asterisks or not even asterisks, just kind of like it's never like a capital exclusive put it on the box. It's always like from an interview, people are talking and they'll say it, but like...
Sure.
It doesn't really seem, and it's weird that no one's ever actually addressed it. And even when I talked to Dan, the director of the game, when he was doing the Let's Play here, and I asked him again when we were doing the show at E3, he was saying, when I was like, so is it coming to other consoles? And he didn't say no.
We haven't announced this time. Yeah. We're happy with our PlayStation arrangement.
So we'll see from there. And I think that maybe if this game does well enough, they wouldn't need the Sony funding, if they even got Sony funding, to do something like Spyro. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, there is an audience for this. So we can invest this much money and we can expect this much money to be made.
Sure. I just feel like it'll be such small potatoes to what Activision does. Activision is a publisher that I think is, we have the Excel spreadsheet, we look at the numbers, and this just doesn't add up. It made a profit, sure, but it didn't make enough for us to care about it, all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I also don't think, with all due respect to Spyro, that there's Spyro love on the level of Crash love.
Oh, there definitely is.
You think so?
Yeah. It's just tapping into a different audience with the same memories. Like, Spyro was a franchise, sure, that meant so much to so many people, in the same way that Crash did. And I just think there are people that feel about Spyro the way I feel about Crash.
I just feel like maybe it's just the fact that the Crash people have been so much more vocal. But I've heard Crash people for years and years and years and years. And I feel like Spyro, even...
we've been friends for a while.
Even Spyro, though, it's just like, oh, well, you know, we'd like some more, but whatever. But I don't know.
We'll see. I don't know.
See, it's not like LocoRoco and Patapon. I like to make it out that Patapon's right, a bigger like deal. But like, no, they're the same thing. They mention in the same sentence every time.
I think it is.
No, you're wrong. You're stupid.
All right. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell Greg he's wrong.
Speaking of which, we're trying to make this more seamless because I'm bad at it.
Yeah.
Refresh that page. Go ahead and do it. And then I'll kick to you and you can tell us what we were wrong about. Okay. But while you actually get to read ahead and see what you agree and disagree with, I'll tell you who you're squadding up with today. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, you can go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. That's Kind of Funny Games Daily, the show you're watching or listening to. Thank you. And you can leave us questions. And you can leave us your name, PSN name, Steam name, Nintendo Switch ID thingamajig, Xbox Live, wherever. Somebody did Old Republic, right? Anything you want people to come play games with you, why? You put it in there. We read one of you every day. All the best friends friend you, and you have people to squad up with. Today, we're reading Garrett's submission. He wants to play on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Breaking Prime, all spelled the way you'd expect. And he says, I'm looking for best friends to play Friday the 13th with. I started playing a few weeks ago, but have started to notice it's really hard to play with a bunch of random people who may not want to team up, or that might shoot you in the head with a shotgun in order to steal a boat prop that you're carrying. Parentheses, that just happened to me last night. I'd love to play with some best friends who are all about working together and developing strategies. So ladies and gentlemen, if you're playing Friday the 13th on PlayStation 4, just like I am, Greg Miller, hit up Breaking Prime, be his friend. And of course, it's Thursday today. Tomorrow's Friday. Tomorrow, after we record Kind of Funny Games Daily at 1 o'clock, I'm going to sit down and stream a whole bunch of Friday the 13th with the Kind of Funny Best Friends Community Twitch subs. You can go sign up at kindoffunny.com/F13. That's Friday the 13th. Slots are still available. It's double XP weekend. I'm very excited.
Yeah?
Very
you
excited.
You get that XP, Greg. We got some corrections for you.
What were we wrong about, Tim?
Let's see. We're starting off here with Capitalist Pig, who had some statements about the Nintendo stuff we're talking about.
Okay.
Nintendo sold 2.74 million units worldwide in March. Nintendo expects to sell 10 million units of Switch hardware in the next year, alongside 35 million software sales. You know what? Didn't need to read that. I read the wrong thing because he posted two things. We said all of that earlier.
Okay.
What he did correct us on is the Nintendo Switch dock is currently listed at $59.99.
Oh.
From the official Nintendo store.
My with apologies.
No EC
Best Buy, I did a cursory glance. Best Buy had it up.
Yeah. The AC adapter on its own is $39.99 on the Nintendo site.
That's how they get you.
I know you can get it cheaper on Amazon. Richard W63 said he thinks the horror game you're talking about to get even.
No,
he was wrong.
Zyger
also said it is Town of Light.
Zyger knew what it was?
Zyger knew what it was.
Congratulations, Zyger.
Yes, that's it. That is the correction.
Oh, wow, not too bad.
We did pretty good today, Greg.
Not too good. Thanks for keeping us honest, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Kind of Funny Games Daily is your daily deep dive into the world of video game news. Please be a part of it. Go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Leave questions, comments, concerns, along with bad names, PSN names you want to shout out, Steam names you want to friend up with. Remember, still a brand new show, so we need your help. Please subscribe to us and rate us on iTunes and podcast services around the globe. We're rolling out to other podcast services as we speak, so if you're one of them Google people, Android folks, keep looking for it. Remember, this all comes from kindoffunny.com. Please go there. Subscribe to Kind of Funny on YouTube. Subscribe to Kind of Funny Games on YouTube. Be nice to each other. Be nice to your friends. Plenty of great groups out there to hang out, whether it's the forums, whether it's the Facebook, whether it's the Reddit, whether it's the Discord. There's lots of things happening. Tomorrow's Friday 13th. Tomorrow's Andrew is back. You'll be back next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
And remember, later today, Kind of Funny Games cast.
Oh, live, right. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can get your link to do that.